Martha Kate, thank you so much for leading.
I grew up in the same church that my mother and her siblings grew up in. I liken it a lot to Vineville Baptist. It was a family-style church where everybody treated you as one of their own. When I walked through the hallways on my way to Sunday school, I was greeted and spoken to by most everyone. As I came into the sanctuary, I would go to my pew at the back of the sanctuary with my grandparents and my great aunt. They were the ones who taught me how to follow the words in the hymnal, how to follow along in the bulletin, and how to say the Lord's Prayer. I watched as my mother sang in the choir, and my father operated the television camera. And I knew that faith that I was being exposed to inside the church walls was something that I was supposed to engage outside the church as well. Both my biological family and my church family were teaching me about living faith. You see, for me, living faith is about more than just entering the walls of the church anytime the doors are opened. It's more about engaging your spiritual relationship with Christ, allowing yourself to be constantly transformed into the likeness of Christ. It's seeing others through the eyes of Christ and loving them with the same love that Christ loves each of us with. And as followers of Christ, it is our life calling to live out our faith, striving day in and day out to grow more like Christ, to grow and to keep into reaching our full kingdom potential. So what does reaching full kingdom potential look like? Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 12, beginning with verse 28. Here we have a familiar story of a scribe asking Jesus, "What's the greatest commandment? If there's one thing that I should strive to do with my life, what would it be?" Jesus' response to him comes first from what I read a few moments ago in Deuteronomy. And he adds to it, "to love your neighbor as yourself." All too often, I think we read that first commandment, though, and we don't place enough emphasis on what we're to love God with. So let me read it to you again. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." There's no question or ambiguity here as to the amount of love that we should be pouring into God. God should be getting everything that we have. After all, everything that we have comes from God. But Lee, you may be thinking, how do we even begin to accomplish the act of giving God our everything? And I'm right there with you. The vastness of this life calling is so daunting before us that it's questionable as to whether or not we should even strive for it. But as followers of Christ, it is our life calling. It doesn't matter if you're a child or an adult, if you're rich or if you're poor, if you're healthy or if you're unhealthy. God desires our very best. Our everything. The only way we can do this is to commit to the discipline of continued growth. And I'm not talking about numerical growth here. God will tend to that in his time. I'm talking about deep, personal, spiritual growth. We cannot fall victim to finding something that we're good at or a comfortable level of understanding and stop there. And ready or not, for some of us, that means that we've got some serious soul searching to do. We need to explore, experiment, and almost guaranteedly step out of our comfort zones to see where God is at work within us. And friends, we know that God is at work within us. Paul tells us in Ephesians, "Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus for all generations, forever and ever." Did you catch that? You guys listening? It's not a matter of if God is at work within us, but a matter of claiming the powerful truth that God is at work within us. And God's work within us and through us can accomplish far more than anything our finite minds can fathom. I want you to join me for just a moment here and close your eyes. Go ahead, I got you. Close your eyes. Forget about the people sitting next to you. Take a couple of deep breaths. Focus on God. Imagine yourself so strong and confident in your relationship with God that it's as if nothing can stop you. Imagine God walking behind you, before you, and beside you. Imagine the very best version of yourself you possibly can. Dream your biggest dream of what you think God could do through you to impact the kingdom of God. Open your eyes. Hear this. God can do even more than all that you just imagined. God can work through you in ways even more powerful than anything you can dream. And friends, it's time that we live our lives in a way that we acknowledge our awareness of how magnificent, of how powerful, and how capable we believe God to be. So dream big and put everything you have into giving to the Lord through your life and the way you live it. Live your life in such a way that you are forced to live out your faith. What would happen if we all lived with boldness and humility and unwavering faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? What would happen if we were to unleash our abilities, our talents, our skills, everything we have into a force used to love God? I have to tell you, I think we would all be blown away by the amazing things that God would do in and through us. But living our faith in such a manner will require us to change, to grow, and to be willing to be transformed day by day. You may be wondering what that could look like. And there's one particular image that I'm going to share with you that I've just kind of grabbed hold of, and it comes from Prince Caspian, part of C.S. Lewis's Narnia Chronicles. There are four children, Peter, Susan, Edmund, and Lucy, and they find themselves in Narnia after a long absence. Aslan, the great king and lion, is nowhere to be seen. Lucy, the youngest of the children, really wants to see him. As the children go to sleep one night, Lucy hears stirring in the forest and a voice calling to her. And so while the other children sleep, she gets up and she goes to the voice. She makes her way through the woods and she finds herself in a clearing where she sees a huge lion shining white in the moonlight with its black shadow underneath. If it hadn't been for the movement of his tail, this lion may have been stone. Not for Lucy, though. She never doubted for a minute who this lion was. She rushed to him and immediately buried her face in his beautiful silky mane. "Aslan, Aslan, dear Aslan," she cried. "At last." "Welcome, child," Aslan said. And as Lucy gazed into Aslan's wise face, she said, "You're bigger." "That's because you are older, little one," Aslan answered. Lucy seemed confused and asked, "Not because you are?" Aslan replied, "I am not, but every year you grow, you will find me bigger." I just love that image of a child running toward God and seeking him out, just open, uninhibited by the things of the world, eagerly seeking to know God, to know this deity of whom we speak. If you pay attention here at Vineville, you can even look at the children that we have here and the wide-eyed wonder that they show as they watch us move through the elements of worship, of study, and of fellowship together. That same wide-eyed wonder is available to each of us, because as followers of Christ, as we train ourselves in God's goodness and sovereignty, we will always find that as we grow, God keeps getting bigger. Every year we grow, God gets bigger. As we grow and change and transform into the likeness of Christ, we will constantly be shown more and different ways of knowing God. We will learn things that we didn't even know before, and we will experience things that we never knew were possible. As we continue to allow God to transform our lives, and as we faithfully live as followers of Christ, I truly believe that every year, every month, every week, every day, every hour, every minute, we will be exposed to a God that just keeps getting bigger. We have to ask ourselves, though, if that's such a wonderful goal, if that's something that would be such a blessing to experience, then why aren't we all already striving to live our lives that way? What are we afraid of? Some of you may know this about me already, but I am a sucker for any based on a true story inspirational sports film. It's a very narrow genre, but it's my genre. Based on a true story inspirational sports film. One of my favorites is Coach Carter. Coach Carter is a movie about a man named Ken Carter who comes in and takes over leading a basketball team. He takes this team of young men from people who are disrespectful, disengaged, to people who are respectful and engaged. There's one particular player on the team, Timo Cruz, who's very difficult, very hard to get to. And all throughout the movie, Coach Carter looks at him and says, "What is your deepest fear, young man?" Then you have this silent eye dialogue going on between them as Cruz refuses to answer the question. But at the end of the movie, he answers the question and he says, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were all meant to shine as children do. It's not just in some of us, it is in everyone. As we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others." Could it be that that's what we're most afraid of? Could it be that we're scared of what would happen if we were to truly let God reign in our lives? Could it be that we're scared of what we might be able to accomplish for the kingdom if we truly strove to live out our ever-growing faith? Could it be that we're scared that if we were to truly believe the words of Christ, that with God all things are possible, that we might actually have to live up to that faith? Fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, I encourage you to take heart. In this world, we will have trouble, but Christ has overcome the world. Christ is alive and well, and it is time that we allow ourselves to live up to our full kingdom potential. It's time that we start living out our faith, putting action to our words. If you believe that all things are possible with Christ, then it's time to start living out that faith. If we believe that we are truly called to follow the great commandment of loving God with all that we have, then it's time to start putting God first in everything that we do. If we believe that we're to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, then it's time to start loving ourselves, giving ourselves permission to love others. Friends, Jesus said, "The one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. In fact, will do greater works than these." So I'll close by asking you, how big is your God? Are you willing to let your light shine? Are you willing to take confidence in the greatness that is God and the ability that God has to do great things through you? Are you willing to live your calling, striving for your full kingdom potential, living your life, giving God everything that you have, and thereby giving those around you permission to do the same? Are you willing to live out your faith? Let's pray. God, as we approach this new year, help us claim with boldness and humility your truth in our lives, and help us to live out our faith. Amen.